And yes, it did snow in North Carolina.
It snowed in North Carolina. It's not a rumor. Please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32 with me, please. We're going to be picking up in verse 15. 11:2-14 it is today. This is a day that the Lord has made. Let's rejoice in it. Praise God. Last week, coming off of the discussion about blessings, talking about the butter or the fat of the land, and the honey from the rock and the oil, and now the warning's going to come. What happens with prosperity, material prosperity, is that we can become lazy and we can be dependent on those riches. So a warning comes with that. Verses 15 through 18. But Jeshurun, which is a name of Israel, so you'll see that in various places, waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat, thou art grown thick. Get the idea there. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsake God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Winds of doctrine coming through, something new and novel, and people gravitating to that. So the warnings here about when the blessings do come, and God brings those things to us, does pride and laziness and the trusting in those things take over? We all love blessings, of course. But we need to heed the warnings. The warning is that we can become prideful because, oh, God blessed us. And that means that we are super saints or something like that, that we deserved it or whatever. Those things can come to mind. Well, you know, start rubbing your knuckles on your shirt kind of thing. It's not to be so. That's a dangerous thing to have happen. We need to always give credit to God at the first of receiving the blessing and the next day after that. What can happen is we start taking a little bit of God's glory. And no flesh can glory in his presence. We a little bit and a little bit. It's like, you know what? You know, God, you know, I helped God out here with us. And you know, 2 years down the road, pretty soon, the whole testimony is different. And it's, look at what we did. Watch out for that. It's happened. It's happened to our country. It's happened to the people of God. It's happened to the people in the Bible that's being discussed here, Israel. Another translation says in verse 15, but Israel soon became fat and unruly. The people grew heavy, plump, and stuffed. Then they abandoned the God who had made them. They made light of the rock of their salvation. Material prosperity, it can be a hindrance. For the lover of God, the love of God, will seize the opportunity of wealth to bless others. What is our favorite thing to do as believers, as lovers of God, is to be able to just give back that blessing, to share it with others. We enjoy that. That's part of the nature of God that's working in us. It's not because it's a command or it's written on stone, but it's the nature of God trying to escape out. I make a probiotic drink. It's a health drink called kombucha. If I could say it right, you can find it in Nature's Market where Gretchen's going to be working at Wegmans. That's where I first saw it. It's a tea that is cultured and develops a fizz. It becomes a natural soda and sometimes explosive where we open it up and it shoots all over the place. As a believer of God, you are filled with a probiotic spiritually. That is the Holy Spirit. It's a what's probiotic mean? It's a beneficial living organism inside of you. With this going on, with the Holy Spirit working inside of you, this beneficial living organism, pressure builds. Pressure builds. And it's an awesome type of pressure. It's called the love of God. And it spills over into the giving of others. So prosperity can be a hindrance, or for the believer, the lover of God, it's just an open door to release that pressure, to allow the love of God to pour out and just to bless others with. In fact, for the true believer, if that pressure isn't released, there will be an explosion. It has to be released. God won't be contained. He will overflow in our lives. That's the nature of God dwelling within us. It's an overflow. In fact, the scripture describes your giving as cheerful, or more accurately, the translation is hilarious. It's just bubbling out. Our left hand not knowing what our right is doing. The opportunity to bless others and giving others. It's the nature of God being released. The power of God overflowing up and over. In our fleshly nature, we're stingy. We have budgets and we cut things and all these things. It's because we have limited resources, and understandably so. We have a certain amount of this and that. But there's this living organism. A living being in us with unlimited resources. It takes faith for us to pop that cork and allow him to flow out sometimes. And to put that stinginess and that what we see with our eyes and trusting with our own resources. Put that aside and allow God to flow out. Our flesh, the world, and the devil will try to keep us corked up. Try to keep the love of God from flowing out and become constipated believers. That's a nice word, isn't it? Are you a constipated believer? Do you know what one looks like? I bet you do. What do we see in this verse? What was the process that developed these people that were grown thick and fat? You know, they're swelled. They haven't been releasing or giving out. They've been consuming unto themselves instead of being givers, being charged with the love of God. What do we see the process happening here? Something growing cold, something waning, diminishing. And it's the love of God over these people. They lightly esteemed the rock of their salvation. Look at it in that verse there, in verse 15. Lightly esteeming the rock of their salvation. That's that gradual cooling off. It happens in relationships. It happens in marriages. It happens. Things cool off. And we take for granted those that love us. And it happens with God. Lightly esteeming that rock of our salvation, that one that delivered us, that one that saved us. The rock of our salvation. That rock is always the central theme of our meetings here. And it should be our daily walk, the central theme. Never take lightly the rock of our salvation. Jesus Christ should never be common to us. Our communion time is a reminder of that, and I try my best not to make it a routine. Not to say, okay, every third week of the month or something like that, and where it becomes a ritual. I try to avoid that, so it's kind of randomly announced, and there's a focus that goes with that, and we've been doing that since we began here. Just for that reason, that we not lightly esteem our Savior, what He did for us, that it never becomes common, it never becomes old, it's always fresh. It's that love letter that you found from way back when. You ever have that? You reach into a box, some of you have been married a while, and it's a little yellow now, and it's a love letter, and it's still got that sparkling perfume that she sprayed on it. Yeah, I'm speaking of one that I found. It brings to mind that love, but it should always be fresh, never a ritual. Our series on marriage is hopefully doing that. Praise God for Patty and Roger stepping up to the plate. I forgot to warn them. When you step out for God in a fashion like that, stand up for marriages, stand up for Jesus Christ, you're going to have a bullseye on you. You're entering into a war. Satan would have you removed. You'll be tested. You'll be sifted. They could give testimony to that. Just ask them. But keep going strong. Keep standing up for the marriages in the body of Christ. Keep standing up for Jesus Christ. Let's not take for granted or lightly esteem what He's done for us. Amen. Let's continue on this morning in 16 and 17. Breaking those down a little bit. we notice the progress here going from taking the glory of God to all sorts of oddness and perversion, provoking him to jealousy with what? Strange gods, with abominations, sacrificing unto devils. How weird can it get? We all heard stories on the news and different things. They're like, man, that is so weird. It's got to be demonic. It is. Things sacrificing to devils. That's how it starts gradually, and it gets into that category. Things can get so weird that they're so bizarre. Going from taking a little bit of the glory of God to lightly esteeming what he's done to all sorts of oddness and perversion. And it can happen in pretty short order. I love this country, and I hope you do too. I love how it started. It was started in a revival, not a revolution. A revival started this country. Revolution was the result of the independence of the people after being delivered from the religious oppression. They got a hold of grace and they realized that they were who they were in Christ. They had value. These things stirred up the people into the country that God would have us to be. I love how this country started in a revival. Great study. It's called The Great Awakening. Look it up in the encyclopedia when you go home. Google it. The Great Awakening. That's how our country started. It wasn't freedom from a monarch that drove us to become a nation. It was freedom that we tasted in Christ. People were set free from religious oppression when the plow of the gospel furred up through the colonies and hit them. So much so they were shaking, it says, it reports in our history. Falling over, shaking, because of the love of God, the impact of grace, that God actually loved them. They didn't have to go through some priest and do all these duties and get some kind of little bit of light shining from that once in a while. They were flooded with the love of God directly, a personal. They were reborn. Man, what a powerful event. Revival in our country. I believe it can happen again. I believe our history hasn't been fully written yet. But we need to see the warnings. We need to see what happened. With great blessings, as we had turned to God, prosperity came, and the warnings weren't heeded here in the scripture. Pride took over. Look what we did. Paul Revere's famous for his riding through and warning the patriots, the British are coming. He should have continued to ride after the revival and the revolution, but with its warning about becoming fat in pride in the glory of man. Little by little, losing sight of what God did and taking more and more credit to themselves. Pride is coming. Pride is coming. Warning. Verse 18. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Wow. There's one to highlight, huh? Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgotten God that formed thee. How we were even created and formed. They had totally forgotten their creator, losing ties with that, the rock that begat thee. The term born-again Christian implies a new life, of course, a rebirth. What a great phrase, all the way back here in the days of Moses, we're reading right here in verse 18, foretelling of the things to come for Christ and his church, the rock that begat us. We were reborn from that rock, which is Christ. What happened here? Even forgetting their connection with God from the birth. Thou art unmindful of the God that begat thee, or birthed thee, and forgotten who formed thee. We live in a nation and a world, for that matter, that has, by and large, taken on these few verses quite succinctly. From prosperity to forgetting even who made us. Not only putting it out of mind, but professing ourselves as wise, becoming fools, and saying, chance and time produced everything, produced you and me. Man, can you believe that's happened? It has, by and large. Who in the right mind, as a homeowner, lives by that philosophy? My property will improve if I allow chance and time to have its way.
Yeah.
No. We recognize such homes that people have allowed chance and time to have their way. We see broken windows, moss on the roof, trees growing up through the front porch, paint peeling, siding dropping off, and we say, hey, nobody lives there. Intelligence has left. Chance and time is all that remains. Disorder and decay have followed. We take that same chance and time and say, something came from nothing. And that something continued to get more intricate, complex, and so beautiful. Two recent movies, in fact, God Is Not Dead, and A Matter of Faith, dealing with verse 18 right here. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful and hast forgotten God that formed thee. Verse 18. How incredible it is to see the truth in such an old book and realize that it's not just an old book, but a living book, a powerful word that speaks to us today. What can we do, folks? What can we do? Shake our heads? Stick our heads in the sand? What do you want to do? Evangelize and show movies? Good. But before we can really fix the world, we have to be living and doing it here as people of God. Are we lightly esteeming the gospel of God? Are we lightly esteeming Jesus Christ? I'm asking you today, are you lightly esteeming Jesus Christ in your life? Proverbs 3 brings it home, telling us to trust in the Lord. In how do we do that? In all of our ways, it says. All of our ways acknowledging Him. That's one way to not lightly esteem Christ. It's in all of our ways acknowledge Him. This, that, and the other thing. Mark mentioned the Samaritan's Purse this morning. An incredible ministry that goes way beyond Christmas boxes. I was looking at their brochure, their magazine that they give out. Billy Graham's son, Franklin Graham, is involved in it. And they give goats out, and they give cows, medical, all these different things. And in each area, each category that they're delivering these physical things, they centralize it around the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's so abundant. I appreciate that ministry. They don't lightly esteem it. They don't put, you know, feeding the poor and Christmas boxes and gifts as the thing we worship. It's Christ. It's about Jesus Christ. That's what that's supposed to represent. Given that goat is about, because we're saved in Jesus Christ, we love Him. That's why I'm giving you this goat. That's why I'm giving you this gift. It's about Jesus Christ. He delivered me. He saved me. I want to do this for you. It's not just about helping people and elevating that up. That's the thing we worship. People helping people. That's what it's all about. No, it isn't. It's about Jesus Christ. Don't lightly esteem Jesus in your life. Appreciate that ministry and how they've held on to that ideal, that number one priority, seeking the kingdom of God first. Is it pleasing to God when we grow cold, when we start waning and shrinking back? Of course not. In verse 19 through 20, and when the Lord saw it, He abhorred them, because of the provoking of His sons and of His daughters. And He said, I will hide My face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward or perverse generation, children in whom there is no faith. Children in whom is no faith. Do you have a problem with perversion, idolatry, sin, perhaps sexual sin? That's a symptom. You might have been to the doctor before and they look at the symptoms and treat them, but they also do something else. They look for the root cause to actually fix the issue creating the symptom. Removing the temptation addresses the symptom, and that's good. Do it. But it does not address the root cause. Notice verse 20, children whom there is no faith. You can remove all the temptations, but if there is no faith, then the symptom will pop up in other places. The perversion will happen some other way. Deal with the root cause. There's no faith when there's perversion, when there's sin. There's a lack of faith. Faith is from God. God supplies this gift to us by revealing His Word to us. My job is to be used by God in that way, to rightly divide it. Like carrots up there, cutting it up for a stew. And then giving everybody the meal. Chewable chunks so it can be assimilated into the person. And faith can be developed. And then the symptoms all of a sudden are gone. It's like, whoa. Okay, now I'm not managing a thousand systems and you get your fingers in all the holes of the dike. It's like, okay, I think the dam's all covered now. Then it starts breaking over here. Dealing with symptoms will wear you out. Deal with the root cause. We need to have His Word in us. Stop playing games with it. Get in His Word and do it. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Deal with the symptom and deal with the root issue too, or it would be an endless cycle of frustration and trouble. Before we can minister this town here, in this area, it has to be happening here. Making converts was what the Pharisees were real good at. Evangelizing, going out, showing movies, doing stuff, making converts. The only problem is that they weren't living it themselves, so the converts they brought in were brought into the darkness they were living in. Sometimes we can sterilize God in our concepts of who He is, some emotionless being, a robotic being of rules and lightning bolts. Or some sappy, syrupy God that accepts everything and is about positive thinking and sweetness all the time. When the Word is open to us, we need to listen to the heartbeat of God that is there. It's a living, powerful Word. It's alive. If you have faith as you approach it in that way, if you're approaching it in some other way, it's not going to do it. Get in touch with God, hear Him, listen to His heartbeat, what He feels on a matter. Listen to Him. Realize we have a living, loving, personal God. A being with an emotional makeup, like the beings that He created in His image. Note here the word jealousy. Our actions can provoke jealousy in God. Let's continue to read 21 through 25. And they've moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell. Boy. And shall consume the earth with her increase and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger, devoured with burning heat, and with bitter destruction. I will send the teeth of the beast upon them, with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and with terror within shall destroy both the young man, the virgin, the suckling also, with the man of gray hairs. The old and young are going to feel the judgment of God. Okay, everybody, let's go home. Woo! Here's a verse, if you want to ever want to let somebody know that you're upset there, in verse 22. A fire is kindled in my anger and shall burn to the lowest hell. They might get the idea, huh? Fire and brimstone preaching doesn't come from some angry preacher, but one conveying an anger from a holy God against the people who have forgotten God. For saying chance and time have created us. That's what we're from. Duh! It's ridiculous. How could God not get angry over that? A beautiful universe spread out and we're walking around like dummies saying that. Look how beautiful it is. Chance and time, aren't you wonderful? The heavens declare that chance and time are great. The glory of chance and time. Baloney, hogwash. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth His handiwork. fire and brimstone preaching doesn't come from some angry preacher, but conveying anger from a holy God against the people who have forgotten God, and ascribe the greatness of God to chance and time. I hope for you it's going to be the heavens declare the glory of God. I hope for you, when you look in the stars, they declare the glory of God. Mm-hmm. And not some confusion and emptiness and what am I doing here? Mm-hmm. I hope it speaks specifically to you, a message. You can take a jet and go up and down from coast to coast. And if you didn't know about it, you'd say it must have taken thousands of years to build such a nation. It's only been 238 years since the colonies declared independence. How long can we go provoking God? Paul Revere is long gone, but we need to sound off the warning while we can. First in the church, and then out from there. The church is growing cold, are you? I'm not into cold. I know some other people are around the wood stove yesterday. Stoke up the fire. Your fire, get on fire for God. Be the Paul Revere today. It has to start here and then go out. Don't fall away and grow cold. There are many of us who would have a sock stuffed in our mouth. Subpoenas in Texas you might have heard about for preachers to hand over their sermons. And the most recent visible cracks in the foundation our country was built upon. I'm trying to put myself in their shoes and think, okay, what if someone handed a letter to me and said, you need to turn in your sermon? I'd say, well, here it is right here. I don't have sermons. I preach from the Word of God. Here, what are you going to do with this? That's my outline. Notice verse 25, the impact is on the young and old. It affects all of us. The decisions of some affecting so many. It's a sobering reality. The effects of the nation going after other gods. I'm not a man that preaches without hope, though. I know this area can be an example for a whole nation, and God can take Goliath down.
Amen.
Praise God. 26 through 27. I said I would scatter them into corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, unless they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord has not done all this. So pride entering to the other nations as they see God's people being judged. God's not going to have that. His own reputation is involved. His word, his faithfulness is maintained to his own truth. Despite our sin, despite our actions, the reputation of God, his word remains. He will be true to that. He will not stand for the world to stand by and shake their head and see his people swallowed up in darkness and say, see, I knew it was all bunk. I knew it was all bunk. God will not stand for that. Sometimes we lose sight of that when we're in the heat of a situation or argument. This little idea that's being presented to us here. God standing for who he is, being faithful and true to himself, his word. Sometimes we lose sight of that when we are in the heat of a situation. Something wrong was done and that person is going to know it and suffer consequences. You're in a hot situation. You might be right. You might be 100% right. But don't lose sight of who you are and who you represent. Even though you're 100% right and somebody 100% wronged you, don't lose sight of who you are and who you represent. God is not going to forsake who he is because of the sin of the nation of Israel. This is a key life passage in truth, so don't miss it. We are not governed by what is going on around us and what people are doing or not doing. We need to maintain who we are in Christ, to keep ourselves in the love of God, protect the honor of God and his reputation. Otherwise, the victory of the enemy is sure and thoroughly complete. That's what we're seeing here in this section. Take heed lest yourselves fall, we are warned in the scripture. When there's sin around us and there's trouble, take heed lest yourselves fall. In counseling people in the Word of God, I speak in those terms. Get your eyes off the darkness of some situation or in someone else's life and back on the light. Get your eyes back on Jesus Christ, else you will fall into that hole you keep looking into in the Grand Canyon. There's hundreds of deaths that have been recorded over the years, 600 and some, quite a few, just people falling over the edge, taking a picture, just a little more. Okay, it's usually guys.
Yeah.
Okay, stand on that rock right there. But there's nothing going, yeah, just quick, yep. A park ranger was interviewed about that. What are common risk factors for death at the Grand Canyon? Men, we have a problem. This park ranger said, as he was answering this, being male and young is a tremendous risk factor. Of the 55 who accidentally fallen from the rim of the canyon, 39 were male. 8 of those guys were hopping from one rock to another, posing for pictures. Gives a few specifics. Arrogance, he goes on to say, impatience, ignorance, playing a part in their death. That looking down, look at that, wow, look at that, such a huge hole. And you're looking, all of a sudden you find yourself falling into it. It's not hard to gaze at such a huge gaping hole. It's so obvious. It's so huge. It's so deep. It's not hard to find yourself gazing into the gaping hole in someone's life and allow that to overtake your thoughts and be consumed by it. Wow, what a hole. What a hole. What a hole. Ah! The most important thing is not the rebellion around us. So many people waste their lives just fighting against sin in that sense. Their anger, being angry against sin in that way and fighting against it directly. I'll tell you how to fight against sin in a second here. These things are not to overtake what is the most important. We are never to be consumed by the sinful world around us, to fall in its holes. James 1:20, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. If you remember a verse today, remember that one. The wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. What was it? Your anger doesn't work God's righteousness. It doesn't? No. We need to allow God to handle the anger department. Give space for God to act with a sinful person or nation. We give room for it. It's like, God, okay, I trust you as my God creator and their God and creator to properly administer whatever to them, Lord God. But I'm going to pray for them and ask you, Lord God, to intervene in their life. Our job is to preach. What's our job? To be angry and fix the sin. Our job is to preach the gospel and make followers of Jesus Christ. That's the Great Commission. That's how we're to fight against the darkness. Praise you, Lord. You can put OMG next to verse 28. Oh my goodness. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. A nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Watching this morning through the window here, someone setting up DirecTV. And I noticed there's a bunch of them all over these buildings here. The buildings are in rough shape, but they got some pretty nice entertainment going on there. I guess they know what their priority is. Yeah. You know, just got to have that huge, have the huge TV. And that's the council that is our country is feeding off of now. It's devouring it, and it's the sugar junk coming in all the time. And that's where our country is just consuming day after day. That's why you can put OMG on verse 28. A nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. It's all empty calories coming through those channels. In verse 29, oh, they that were wise, they that understood this, they that would consider their latter end. One of the definitions of insanity, I have to remind myself of as I catch myself doing it, is doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and expecting a different result. That's the definition of insanity. One sure way to determine the future is not to learn from the history. You want to predict the future? No problem. Just forget about the history. You'll just repeat what happened. What a rich supply of human history in the Bible alone that we have, that we can take and say, okay, let's learn from this. Thousands of years of human history. Then we have our own history, historical books. The plea is going out from verse 29. Oh, if they only understood this. Praise God. A little more today. You ever been to the water park with a big splash bucket? It fills. Here it comes. There's that tipping point. All right, there's the tipping point here in the judgment of God. And God moving and reacting to a situation. So the idea here, I'm getting in verse 30 through 35. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For the rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are the grapes of gall, and their clusters are bitter. The wine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asper snakes. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? To me belongs vengeance. Now, speaking of his dealing with people and allowing the other nations, you know, Babylon to occupy and all these things that have taken place with Israel. That's the key there in verse 35. To me belongs vengeance and recompense or repay. Their foot shall slide in due time, for the day of their calamity is at hand. The things that shall come upon them, make haste. The big bucket splashing over. You know, when it's time for God to act, it's the right time. God is righteous and holy in what he does. There's a tipping point being conveyed here. There's a time to warn, which he does, and then there's the time to act. God is showing us this. Warn, 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 and then the follow through. Make good on the warnings. Our Heavenly Father loves his people. It is very hard, very difficult when we see the action being taken upon someone's life, going through a painful time. We need to allow space for God to deal with people, deal with situations, allow him to lead. God says, to me belongs the vengeance. To me belongs the vengeance. To who? To God. It's nothing that we should seek. It's nothing that we should relish in or enjoy when someone is reaping what they sowed. Guess what we're doing? We're looking at the Canaan when we do that. Wow, look at what, oh my goodness, God judging that. Whoa! We are to take heed of our own walk, get our eyes on Jesus, lest we fall. We are to grab hold of that blanket of grace that we're all under and seek to pull that cover over the situation. That's what we should be doing. That's what we are as creatures of Christ. Saved by grace is to get under the blanket, man. Get under the blanket. Romans 12 says it so eloquently. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. It's like, brother, stop talking way up here. You know, talk to people, will you? Stop being Mr. Smarty Pants and trying to make yourself look great. Just talk to people. Love them. Meet them where they're at. We got a good God, don't we? 12:17 of Romans. Repay to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, repeating what we're reading here today, that vengeance belongs to God. But rather give place. There's that idea. Rather give place unto wrath. Okay, God, that is your space to work in. I'm not entering in that place. that is your holy, righteous place to judge, to take revenge or whatever, to allow that reaping where things were sown. I'm not entering that room, God. In fact, I'm going to keep my eyes focused on you and do what you called me to do. Avenge not yourselves, give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hungers, you do what God called you to do. Feed him. If he thirsts, give him a drink. For in doing so, you're heaping coals of fire on his head. You're doing the will of God. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Praise God. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Your wisdom, your truth takes all the confusion, the merry-go-round of this earth. It just sets it all still. We're in awe of your truth. We just love you, Lord God. Just love you. Love you, Lord God. And we do look up in the sky and say, you did it. You did a great job. You're awesome, God. We look forward to a greater revelation of who you are, getting to see you face to face, have you come and return and set up kingdom, Lord God. We're looking forward to these things that you promised. But most of all, right now, we want to witness you today. We sing about it. Today, Lord God, to demonstrate your love, to seek you, Lord God, to not let this day slip by into obscurity, to make fruit in it, Lord God, to have the end of the day be those wonderful words, well done, my good and faithful servant. We hear those words every night, Lord God. Visit us today, Lord Jesus. Give us strength to go forward, Lord God, in the ministries and the things you've called us into. We pray for provision for those ministries, Lord Jesus. We lift them up to you. Help us go forward as your body, Lord. Amen. Amen.